Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show.
Good morning, sickos. This is Robert.
Good morning, Robert. Everything good in your world, bud?
Yeah, just a little bit foggy and misty.
I know. Have you had enough or not? And we're just getting started with this kind of slimy weather. This is, it's just not, I don't like it. I like sunshine and blue skies.
Same here. It was kind of tough driving in, but thank goodness for fog lights.
We've got dense fog warnings all over the state. I mean, just everywhere I've been and have punched in on my phone, I got alerts from all of those this morning. So be careful. Watch where you're going. And try to watch out for the other guy if you can see him coming. That's the deal. Anyway. Well, thanks for tuning in this morning, folks. Our sponsors for today's show, we have the Belleville Meat Market, Boyd's One Stop, Bauman Marine Service, the Gotfish Expo, Rick Bice and Associates, and Mainstream Marketing. And looking at our list today, we're going to try to get a hold of, we'll start off with the Hammer this morning, then Bink Grimes. We'll try to get some duck hunting report out of him here late in the season. Tony Gonzalez in Rockport, Jeff Naylor in Freeport, Lynn Smith in Port O'Connor, Tex Bonin up on Conroe. And if needed, we'll slide down to South Texas and see how those big quail hunts went yesterday with Captain Firemood. And at 5:30, we're going to have Antonio Abdallah with Barbaletta Baits. He'll be calling in from Brazil. We'll be discussing his baits and new products coming out. And then at 6 o'clock after the national anthem, we'll talk to Joe Mohan with Chicken Boy Lures. He's with the Gotfish Expo. We'll be discussing that coming up this next weekend, a big event. Since we didn't have our boat show this year, and these vendors will get a chance to show all their great products for the upcoming fishing season, all new stuff. All right, weather. Foggy. How about that? Galveston, it is definitely foggy down on the island, too, and looks like today about a 50% chance of showers and pretty much cloudy all day. Areas of dense fog will be hanging in there, high of 66, south-southeast winds at 10 to 20. And tonight, they're calling for about a 40% chance of rain, cloudy skies, isolated thunderstorms. They'll be developing late, south-southeast winds 15 to 25. And then for tomorrow, if you love today, you'll like tomorrow. 70% chance of rain, thunderstorms likely in the morning, scattered in the afternoon with a high of 68, winds will be southwest at 10 to 20 ahead of that cold front that's coming. It'll be here sometime in the afternoon or evening, whenever it decides to push on through and clear the coast. But then we'll be clearing off and have a couple of nice days ahead of us Tuesday and Wednesday, hopefully. And looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have two of them. We have a low coming up at 7:09 a.m. It's a negative 0.6. Then we have a high at 3:59 p.m., a 1.0. And sunrise, 7:12 a.m., sunset, 5:51 p.m. And our moon phase is 3/4 right now. We're just on the upside of the next full moon. It's 76%. All right. Let's go to the Hammer now. Let's see. Let's check his pulse this morning over there in the Tri-Bay area, see what he's up to. Glenn, good morning. What's up?
Good morning, Captain Mickey.
How you doing?
Doing good, buddy. Foggy, good. Like you said, we got a thick mess around us right now with a 5-mile-an-hour northeast wind, 99% humidity, and 61-degree air temperature out there.
I'm going to correct you on that one. I'm going to go with 100% humidity this morning. It is slimy, man.
Well, since you've already been out driving in it, I'll take your word for it.
Oh, man, what a nightmare drive.
What?
I hate
really?
Driving in the
I mean,
fog.
There's no break either, buddy. It's all the way down the coast. I mean, as far as I went out to Brazoria yesterday, before the ducks eat my valve stems off of my truck, I figured I better go get them some corn. So I go out to see this buddy of mine out in Brazoria, and it was foggy the whole way, man. It's no difference. You know what I'm saying? It's a big old mess, man. Be careful if you got a job in it. I felt
there's
for you
even fog way
them.
Up in the state, you know, at Junction and Breckenridge, way up that way, there's fog, dense fog this morning. It's pretty crazy, man.
Hard to work around. It's kept our traffic to a minimum down here, to say the least.
Sure.
I know it's a weekend, and usually it's packed up down here, but not the case. Few trucks at the boat ramp yesterday, there was, and, you know, if you know your way around the area, you can kind of hug the bank and hit a few spots, but just please be careful and use your navigation lights and anything else you got in there to let people know you're coming. Mm-hmm. But it's a mess down here. I did go look at the job, the dredging job at San Luis Pass, if anybody's interested. And I know tons of people launch down there because it's a top of the line quality a boat ramp and the restroom facilities for the ladies and everything indoors. You know, no porta cans. You can go inside, so it's really nice. They'll have it fixed up, but they did have boots on the ground. They've got the dredging pipes all connected. They built a big old levee. It looks like they're going to take that sludge or whatever they dredge out of there and put it in a big levee. You know, they've got the pipes.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's exactly what it looks like they're going to do, man. They got a big old area all levied up, and they've got those big old huge, I guess they're 10-inch black PVC pipes, and each pipe is about 40 foot long. But it comes all the way across the parking lot and back to that levee, and it goes up in there. Yeah. So that's what it looks like they're going to do. But anyway, there is boots on the ground, and they're definitely getting it going. I'm not sure when it will be reopened, but it is closed for business right now. So, but as you come on down through the bay, several other boat ramps are open. There's one, the old Size Bay Camp at Christmas Bay. It's open, and there's a county ramp here in the Surfside right there behind Drum Bay, and it's open. Or you could go to the jetties, or you could go underneath the Surfside Bridge. There's three or four different launches, depending on the size of your boat and all that stuff. But it's a mess this morning. I mean, I'm glad I ain't getting out in it. I'll tell you that much. I'm gonna hang around and wait for that 2 o'clock football game. Man, got us a couple football games on this afternoon, so.
But, 2 o'clock, huh? That's the first one, or is it noon?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Two to four thirty. I think the other one comes on at 5 or something like that. But
yeah.
Anyway, got them both this
afternoon.
Yeah,
the first one I think is Green Bay and Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I'm not getting out. I'm not going to go mess with that stuff. We're just doing projects around the house. I actually got it looking pretty good around here. And nothing but time on your hands this day of time. Either you get your nap machine working, you warm up your nap machine, or you go piddle. I mean, it's just bored to death is a word for it. You know what I mean? You live a life of busy, 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 people always around you, always something going on, and then it flatlines.
Yeah,
and that just doesn't comprehend with me, Captain Mickey. I'm a pretty hyper dude, and I'm not much for sitting around. I've seen everything on TV. I'm done with TV. I don't even like to watch it anymore. I put me on some country music, get out in the yard, and just listen to some music, and try to keep from going crazy. or crazier. Let me just put it that
way. Yeah, today would be a real nice day to work in the yard, all soggy and wet and nasty. That'd be a, man.
Yeah, but it's either that or, well, if you knew how small my beach cabin is, it's 650 square feet, okay? And I built me a screened-in front porch on that's almost as big as a house. So I do have a little man cave I can escape to every once in a while. But, no, that's it, man. Down here in this area, if you're going to want live bait, there's no problem at all. I've seen flags flying at every bait camp. And here's the deal. Depending on what you're looking for, the color of the flags, there's five different colors. White flag is for live shrimp. The yellow flag is for croakers. The blue flag is for mullet. The red flag is for mud minnows. And the black flag is for dead bait. It's kind of confusing. You see all these flags flying, and people, you know, they don't even have them. Some of the flags have it on written on there, you know, what it is. But that's just, I just want to throw that out there a little bit, because there are a lot of bait fishermen this day and time. And like I said, there's just about somebody at every little fishing hole this day and time. Everywhere I've been, I've seen a few cars anyway. The fog has kept the traffic down a little bit, but there's fishermen coming out coming out of the woods, coming down here to get them some, I guess. And, hey, I don't blame them, man. That's what I would do if I had some buddies and wanted to go and it wasn't foggy. Well, I would be out there with them. But we've got our best part to come. You know, it'll start warming up here in the next few weeks, and that water temperature comes up a little bit. But, you know, like you were saying the other day, if you're after the big trout, now's the time to do it and get out there and get you some with some corkies or some, you know, some kind of plug, some kind of slow sinking plug you can fool them on with. I lost my biggest trout, I think, in my life on a corky. And it's just the thump and the bite on those kind of baits, man, is unreal, unbelievable. But I'm a monofilament guy. I got one rod with braid on there only because a friend of mine put it on there for me. I usually use monofilament. I've always been a monofilament guy. And I've got a pretty good feel for it. And well, anyway, I use 12 pound test with a 20 pound shock leader to tie a little screw lock jig head on, or my soft plastics. I always use a little number 10 barrel swivel, and then I add me about a foot long shock leader, because a lot of riprap, a lot of shell, you know, down in that water and everything. You're gonna hook some shell and some reef, and you're gonna lose it. But anyway, it's good. When it's good down here. And right now, I can't really tell you because I haven't had a report from a friend. And I mean, usually that's very unusual.
Yeah.
Normally somebody calling me, you know, they got to brag about their catch, but it's just non-existent. Just a weird time that we're going through right now. And man, it's tough. It's tough when you got a bunch of energy and nowhere to go. So I'm laughing about it, crying.
There'll come
a time
when you wish you had a couple of days to lay up and relax. But you know, that's part of being in the business we're in.
Yes sir. And it is Hard it's up. Time to get a. I think I'll be going to look at used trucks. I don't think I'm gonna buy a brand new one, but I'm definitely about ready to trade mine in. And you know, they get about 12 years old, you know, and get some miles on them. So it's about time to start looking around. I may go do that today. We may go looking around and see what we can find. But I don't need no truck problems. And you know, like this time of year, right now is time to catch up on everything, your yard work, your house work, whatever, remodeling, whatever I can find to do. I'm doing it, man. I'm running out of nails and staples, man. I'm trying
to get too bored. Come over to my house. I'll find some home improvements for you. Plenty of them waiting on me. All right,
well, that
buddy.
Sounds like a deal, buddy, because I'm bored over here. Yes, sir.
Well, put your number out. Somebody can call you and book you and give you something to do.
Here you go. Well, please call 713-208-0683. Always a pleasure, Captain Mickey. Y'all have a great day, buddy.
All right. We'll see you, man. Take care, Hammer.
Yes, sir.
All right. All right. I need to tell everyone about the Belleville Meat Market, located right in downtown Belleville. They're easy to find. They're a short drive from Sealy on I-10 or Hempstead on 290. Just go downtown, look for the big sign, Belleville Meat Market, their processing facility, and their meat market are right next door to one another. And I like their meat market this time of year with your wild game. You're dropping off 2- and 3-lane drop-off system. Makes it so much faster and more convenient. They unload your game. They track it all the way through the process. You just tell them what you want, and they'll put it in that great packaging. It stays fresh in the freezer forever. And while you're there, check out all their great quality cuts of grade A beef, pork, and chicken at their meat market, tamales, and other things that they specialize in. And if you don't want to make the drive, make your online orders. Go to BellevilleMeatMarket.com. You can make your online order. They'll ship it right to your door. Call them at 979-865-5782. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 416 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go down to Rockport and check in with our good friend, Tony G, Tony Gonzalez. Tony, what's up, bud?
How much, Kamek? How are you?
I'm good. And you?
Good. Just hanging out at the house. I didn't go to the coast this week, but I did get to get on the river and troll a little bit for white bass and tinkering with that boat again. That turned out pretty good. Just went out on Friday. It was our nice day here. I finally got everything running. Okay, it's still spitting and sputtering a little bit, but ended up with 3 whites and 2 striper. And I was mostly just trying to run that old gas through the tank. So I get it. And I was trolling. And like I said, we do a lot of trolling here. It's just kind of the weirdest thing. You know, you can sit there and troll
<I know it.
laughs> and catch fish. And you're like, okay, here's some fish, and you start casting around. And you can sit there for an hour and not catch anything, toss it back out, put it in gear, and then you catch one. But it was like, what is that about? I don't know. It's like those fish are suspended, and it's a reaction bait, and it just goes by them. And I don't even know that they want to hit it sometimes, but they – It just works here that way, you know, and so that's what we did, put it around, and I'd get a good troll going. The gas was running real good. Then you'd get, like, some bad gas in that line. Some water starts spitting and sputtering. Motor would turn off, and look at those rods, and they're just, you know, just like you're doing deep sea. They're just, you see them ticking, tick, 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 as the bill's going back and forth, and then one goes off. And that happens a lot when you're catching a fish, put it in neutral, you reel
what
that
do you
fish
drag
in.
For those fish up there?
It used to, when we first started, it was like Rapala shad wraps.
Yeah.
But, you know, I bought this house 18 years ago, so they were, you know, under $5 back then. And now some of those Rapalas are $8, $9. So, you know, I prefer a bait like that, something with a tight wiggle.
Yeah,
not with the real wide wobble. In the colder weather, they, you know, that's what some of the older guys taught me right here. They just want something tighter. So something, you know, like that. I use those. What are they called? The guppy. It's a bomber bait. It's got a nice bill, and actually, I pick up a lot of crappie when I'm doing that. And it's kind of early for them still, but I usually like this time of year because you'll catch, you know, a couple more stripers in the mix when you do it. And you just got to find them. You know, I head towards the lake. As they progress, they'll all end up past our boat ramp towards the rapids. I'm at that Rebecca Creek boat ramp on the river. And it just changes. You know, you'll, like right now, the other day, I got some pictures of some osprey that were just sitting, you know, watching me troll. And I always tell my buddies, if you don't see an osprey, you're in the wrong spot, because they always seem to, you know, they can see those schools, you know, from up in the air. And that's where I ended up catching one striper right underneath that osprey.
Yeah.
And you know, as they move up to the river, you know, and they get all the way up there, then you can start using little roadrunners. Or those little fishies. Do you remember those old baits? They're called little fishies. They're kind of a...
Yeah, little soft plastic bait with a weird kind of tail on it. Yeah.
Yeah, real cheapy little lure. They both seem to work well.
I remember those used to work real good at Rollover Pass. For whatever reason, that was the bait to throw for a long time.
I was fishing one day. You get all the way up river, it's real tight up there. And then once they really get up there, then, you know, you're not trolling. You're using those little baits like that. Yeah. Or we'll seine for those spotted tail minnows. They have a spot on them. I think some people call them red horse minnows.
Red horse minnows is what we always called them, yeah.
And you know, once they stack up, that's what you want. I mean, you'll catch 10 to 1 in comparison to a store-bought minnow. You know, some people say the store-bought minnows, they were raised at a farm. They hadn't been around predators. They don't know how to react, you know, to a predator. And then wild minnows, they hit the water. They see them fish. Well, they take off, and I guess they give chase. And as they see it, you know, run. But there was one time I was up there, and I was catching, and I was throwing a little chartreuse roadrunner. And this guy, he was throwing little fishies, and he was on the shoreline. And he was beating me. He was sitting there catching them, and he had a black lab. And he was kind of in a little bluff. It was probably about 7 or 8 foot above the water. And he kicked that dog in the water. And I look over at him, and that dog's splashing around. And he'd cast right on top of that dog. Bam, he'd stick a white bass. I'm like, look at that. He'd catch two or three. And that dog would climb out of the water. We'd fish. And 20, 30 minutes later, he'd do it again. He'd kick that dog in the water again. Thumb on top of that dog, catch. I was like, what is that? He's like, well, when these white bass are spawning, a couple of them will pick on a female and push her up to the surface, and they're rubbing against her, and she'll, you know, spread her eggs out, and then they'll milk the water column. He's like, so when that dog hits, it's all this bubbles and commotion and stuff. He's like, I think they think those are other bass pushing a female to the surface. They kind of come in to investigate. And, I just thought that was a neat trick watching that guy do
doing
that.
Doing it all along. I need to dive in before I wade fish. Yeah. Okay.
Push a little kid in or something every now and then.
Throw your customers in.
Hey, you're lucky. Look at that. Like the Bill Dance commercial. There he is, right there on the monitor.
Well, but whatever. You know, and I hear stories. You know, a lot of these guys that striper fish, they'll I put a little rubber mallet hammer, like a snap-on hammer or something like that. It's rubber, won't hurt your boat, and they beat on the side of their boat with it.
Because they say they thump or something when they eat, and they make a grunting noise
on the side of their boat, and it brings fish over to them.
I've never even fished for a striper like that with, you know,
yeah,
just
I
dropping
always
shed.
Try to be real quiet and stealthy when I'm fishing.
Well, and that's the thing about trolling. I had bought a Honda motor. That was like when E-Tech first came out. So it was like Honda E-Tech were in competition for the quietest motor at that time and fuel efficiency. Right. And I had a Honda 25 horse with a little, it was a Southern skimmer, kind of like a Carolina skiff. And I remember I pulled up all them old guys at the boat ramp. That's one of them new four-stroke Hondas. Boy, they were liking it. Until I started pulling on him, and it had such tight compression, it was hard to crank. And they were like, yeah, you can keep that kid. I'm too old to pull on something like that. Well, I was beating them. You know, I'd come back with 10, they'd have 4 or 5, or, you know, they'd have, you know, every day I'd have almost double. Mm-hmm. And I just think that the quieter four-stroke was just a whisper, and you're, you know, the striper, they'll move to the side as you troll down, and now I'm back to an old two-stroke, you know, but I'm kind of liking these older motors because they're not so sensitive to when water gets in the gas line and stuff like that. The ports, I think, are just a little bit bigger, those little jets, and they don't tend to clog as easy.
Well, they're carburetor with jets, and they're easy to, you know, you can drop the bowls off those things. And I always used a tip cleaner for a cutting torch. And that's what I'd run the, you know, find the right size, then run them through those jets and clean them out with that. Get all that corrosion and scum out of there or any blockage. And put some fresh gas in there, fire it up, roll on.
So, and that little Honda I had, it was a 25, and it had 3 carburetors on it. And when all 3 went bad, you know, it was a mess trying to get the thing running. So I ended up trading that off for like a Hobie kayak. And then that's why I try to keep these, like I said, these older smokers going, and you can tear them apart easier. And I think that's kind of a part of doing this trolling fishing is keeping those little outboards running just right, because they'll start carving it up. And, you know, you can troll for about an hour. And you need to put it on plane.
Put it on plane and open it up and blow it out. And
that's
then
right.
Go back to idling again.
So that's half the battle sometimes. And there's one old guy here. He has a little air mattress, like a little Zodiac, with I think it's just a 12-volt trolling motor. And
air
I'll
mattress.
Be.
I had never heard them called that before. Air mattress.
Well, that's what it reminds me of, because everyone else has little John boats and nothing fancy for the most part. But his is a, you know, like an air Zodiac. And I'll be 4 miles down towards the lake, and he'll come by me with that trolling motor. I'm like, man, you're pretty far up here. He's like, oh, this trolling motor goes a long way. It has a digital maximizer on it, and I get the bigger battery. And he's like, as long as I don't put it in full blast, and he's beating everybody for the most part. You know, during all this COVID, I talked to him, and, oh, I got 6 crappie and, you know, 5 white bass, and everybody else is lucky to have 1 or 2, you know.
And what river are you fishing in?
It's the Guadalupe.
Guadalupe, okay. Mm-hmm. Or Guadalupe.
Guadalupe, yeah. So I'm
pronounce it like, several ways, yeah.
You know, 5 miles from 281 on 306. And it's just an old neighborhood out here that was like the only thing out here a long time ago before 306 went all the way through. You used to have to come into this back neighborhood, and everybody knows that there's a, it used to be the Rebecca Creek golf course.
Rebecca
and there's a golf
Creek.
Ball.
Yeah.
On 281. And it's a real pretty golf. I think it's only a 9-hole. It's real pretty, real old style, big oak trees everywhere and stuff. Mm-hmm. Hearing y'all play lately, I'm laughing.
Yeah.
You know?
The beauty of golf courses. That's what I like about them. Some of them are goat ranches, but most of them are they're really nice.
Well, I got to hunt that one for like 4 years. That was my deer lease. They had 2 miles on the riverfront, another 1,500 acres across the street, and now it's owned by G.G. Gill owns it, and he passed away here a couple years ago, but he's a big promoter. He's always had, you know, lots for sale on the radios on Saturdays and Sundays back since the 80s.
Yeah.
And just one day getting coffee, some guy, you like to golf? And I looked at him. He had a golf shirt on. I was like, no, I like to hunt and fish. What's wrong with your pool? He's like, well, I do have a pool problem, you know, and he saw I had, you know, a pool shirt on or whatever back then. I'll let you hunt and fish if you can help my guys, you know, they'll do the work. They just need some guidance. So I used to stop in there like 2 times a week just to test their chemicals, and they paid for everything. And I used to, that's where I used to hunt for 4 or 5 years, and then they got sold that property. But that was a nice little place, no big deer, but a lot of nice turkeys.
Yeah.
And had the whole thing to myself for the most part, because they're fixing to develop into a neighborhood. And then I made friends with the local game warden. He was a young guy, just became a game warden. And one day he saw me back there, and I'm like, here, let me show you something. Okay, so like, we go to this gate here, we got this other gate here. Like, you can come back behind this ranch house and get up here. Like, you see the river down there? He's like, wow. Like, you can sit up here and watch white bass fishermen all day long. He's like, you sure can, you know. I was like, but don't be busting me. No, I won't bust you. They don't mind if I come here? He's like, no, matter of fact, there's too many poachers. We need you to kind of be patrolling through here, because I can barely get a hunt in without people driving through.
Yeah.
And so I made friends with that old guy, and then he ended up getting transferred down to Webb County, I believe.
Webb
County. He was real nice.
Big deer in Webb County.
And he was from there, you know, valedictorian or something from Laredo. So I don't blame him for heading back that direction.
Valedictorian and became a game warden. How about that?
That's why I'm not a game warden, because I was far from valedictorian.
The call of the outdoors.
they pick the cream of the crop if they can.
Yeah, they can, and they will. Hang on, Tony. Let me do a quick commercial break. I'll be right back at you, buddy.
Okay.
Well, I need to tell everyone about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers, and they're located right at the base of the Texas City Dike at 227 Dike Road. If you're looking for quality bait, look no farther than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, it's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to live that bait than with their oxygen response system. You can check them out firsthand at the store. All their displays on bottles and their regulators and diffusers. Or for more info on them, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And we're fixing to get into the full swing of crawfish season, and no better place to purchase crawfish than Boyd's One Stop by the sack, or you can get them boiled up right there at their store next door to the bait shop. So check them out on the web at boydsonestop.com. And while you're there, check out all their great seafood products or wild-caught guff shrimp, like those big U10s. And call them at 409-945-4001. And when you go by and see the good folks at Boyd's, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 431 in the Bayou City. All right, Tony, we're back. I told you it'd be a quick one.
All right. Did you fish this week?
No, I did not. No, I didn't. I played golf this week. And it looks like I'm probably not going to be doing either this week, fishing or golfing, with the weather the way it's looking. Well, I think it'll turn out kind of nice on Tuesday and Wednesday, hopefully.
How's next weekend look?
Next weekend? I didn't look that far ahead.
I got
these weather patterns. I don't ever put too much into it. What are you doing next Saturday?
I got a two-boat trip next Saturday.
Oh, okay. Well, wish you the best.
Yeah.
Let's see. Next Saturday, pumping south winds, it looks like, with a few thunderstorms. South 15 to 25.
Ooh, sounds fun.
Low of 55, high of 72. It'll be warm. 72, that's pretty good. 30% chance. Now, that's up here. Down your way may not be like that.
Half of them may wait. Half of them want to be out of the boat. I'll probably get the boat crew. Try to put something together for them. Probably head down Wednesday.
I'm going to be talking to Antonio with Barbaletta Baits this morning.
Well, that's exciting. Then,
final segment of the 5 o'clock hour. Be talking to him, see what he's got in the works, new baits coming out, and be talking to him from Brazil. Don't do that every day.
They work, and I've got one. I've been keeping one of them on my boat, a little pink lily, because that trolling lure and those stick baits, like Kevin Van Dam would throw right now, for suspending fish for the most part, those wintertime patterns. And but I just haven't, as soon as I get onto a good troll and that motor starts giving me grief and I'm blowing smoke all over the river with that, so I was gonna try to see if I can pop a largemouth with a lily. I don't see why it wouldn't work.
Oh, they'll eat it, no doubt. That that bait was originally designed, for catching peacock bass. The perversa,
right,
and the tan and the lily and that's how it kind of got popular here. Bob and Maurice fished with them down there when they were peacock bass fishing. Maurice told Bob, said, "Oh, man, I guarantee you trout and redfish will eat these up." And he brought some back with him, and Lord have mercy, they were.
Yeah.
Something new,
well,
too, just what we need is, more stuff to throw.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I always like, if they're on, a paddle tail, down south lures are real popular, but I try to put – couple people with down south. I like throwing those matrix shads or cocoa minnow. I want variations, if they're on hard baits, the lily, or a catch 2000 is about the same, kind of suspending bait, or everyone throwing something, a corky, see what they like a little bit, so sure, it's nice to have something different in the arsenal.
I know, when I get out of the boat, my wading box will only hold so much. I hate carrying all those multiple boxes. So I just kind of pick out my two favorite colors of each, hard bait or, like corky or hot rod, and then your soft plastics. I pretty much put those in my pocket with some extra jig heads and save.
We know you're going to throw a Little John.
Oh, no doubt. Soft plastics. I'm going to have a Bass Assassin swimming tail, a shad tail. I'm gonna have
okay,
a little
John. Okay, that's what I was gonna ask you.
I'm gonna have a provoker, a rat tail, and you know, for soft plastics, I mean that kind of covers it. There's so many of them to throw. I tell you, another good soft plastic we don't throw anymore. But I'll tell you, it catches some big fish, and for whatever reason, you can put it on a light head and slow that thing down. That's the gambler. That gambler, that old...
Petterick throws that a bunch.
That platypus tail on it, you know, that old flapping shad? Right. Oh, man, those trout eat that up. And I remember in Matagorda, this time of year, when we'd throw those trout masters down there, all the big fish that came in, 90% of them would come off that... just that solid pearl white flapping shad. I mean, some monsters caught on it.
And you just reeling that one? Or are you hopping it?
No, you work it how you want. You can reel it, or, you know, a lot of guys, they prefer to jig it and, you know, stop it and start it and do all kinds of crazy stuff with it with a real light head on it.
See, I was trying that willowtail one by Kelly Wigglers.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get a good distance with it. You know, it didn't cast.
See,
you know,
that's
like
a big deal. And that's a reason I throw a lot of the baits I do, is to get that extra distance, especially when you're fishing down your way, when you need that long cast and that clear water to reach those fish.
Right. You know, that's half the reason on how I catch my fish. You know, even with croakers,
long cast.
Because I put it way out there, you know, and some of my customers, I can do it. Like, if the husband and wife. The wife's like, you can help me, Tony, so I'll cast for her. And I was like, that's fine. You do your thing. I have spirit reels. I was like, I'll let you mess up like two of my reels and that's it. You know, and then I'm going to help you. Okay. And she'll pop three right off the bat, and he'll drop that head and put that hand out and hand me that rod. He's like, I can't reach that far. I was like, it's not just the croakers. I mean, the croakers, they want to eat them, but you really have to put it out there. The wave slap from the boat and the ice chest and you know, it's like these pliers.
Edges.
Right. I was like, I always drop these hookouts. You hand a kid, you want to net dad's fish? Sure. And they'll net it. And they'll net it, and they'll throw that fish on the thing, and they'll just throw that pole down, and it slams on the floor. Like, don't do that. <You know? laughs> Well, it's like, it's a little loud, buddy. That'll scare them off. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I need a big old sticker in my boat with Samuel Jackson on there. Slam that hatch one more time. Meme like that.
Well, I had that on my windshield, but I replaced it. It said, "Don't slam the lids!" The exclamation point. And I think the font was like Carlito or something like that. It was like a real. Real aggressive looking font, you know, so yeah. All the kids, they would always say that. And then with the bananas, you know, people must laugh at me. Like, nope, can't have that. Why? Like, well, you could die. And the kids, boy, their eyes, you could die.
No superstition, like, in the boat. No bananas. No banana boat.
I was like, well, y'all, accidents happen fast. Yeah, and, you know, you can die in an accident. So, sure, you don't want to bring a banana. You could die if you bring the banana. Boy, those kids, they go, I don't want a banana's mom. You know, they start, like, picking on them. The other guys laugh at me, like, geez, Tony, you're not going to die because of a banana. You could. You never know, you know. It's just funny.
Well, that's about all I got this morning. And I don't know what else. You heard any good deer stories? Do you know anybody that really shot a big one there towards the end?
No, I haven't heard of my buddy Monty, that one that I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
He shot that one, and that one busted 200.
That's a beast.
That's a beast. And I was real happy for him. You know, he just bought that ranch, and it's all, you know, it's all high fence, but there's multiple ranches inside the hut. They can't have individual fencing. So anybody can shoot it on that property, you know, inside that neighborhood, or, you know, it's a, what we call it, a neighborhood. They're called like wildlife exemption type, you know,
right.
Neighborhoods. But, I was happy for him. I mean, he shot some nice deer, and, biggest one of his life come off his property, you know, so that's.
Yeah, we got on a mountain lion kick last week when Lynn Smith told us about that one that stalked him to all the way to the deer stand and growling and screaming at him and stuff, and that was a hair-raising experience for him.
And that's why I carry a 10 millimeter.
Well, he had his Glock on him, and he was ready and nervous wreck. But then, you know, when that story got out, then I started getting a lot of cool texts, people that had killed a mountain lion and had, you know, shortcomings like that with him. You know, Lynn the day before had sent me a picture of he was walking back somewhere, and he saw this dead doe that a mountain lion had killed, and it laid it in the brush and then tried to cover it up with grass and limbs and everything else, and it had all the head and the front of the body covered up and had one hindquarter eaten off of it. Mm-hmm. And he had just told me that story, and the very next morning, that's when he got stalked, probably by the same cat.
And well, I had that.
That's pretty crazy.
At least in Refurium. And we had one feeder on a creek. And to me, that was the best spot in the whole ranch because hogs would come off that creek. And that creek down there, the owner was like, you know, that was someone else's stand. He's like, you can go down there and you can hunt just the hogs. Don't shoot a deer off the stand, you know, when he's sitting out here. And I was like, you know, that's all I want. Well, I'd go out and put one of those, it was like a light that you'd clip onto the bottom. It had magnets on it.
Yeah.
You just stick it on the bottom of the feeder, turn it on, and I'd go hunt my stand. And then when I was done at dark, I would, you know, park and walk pretty good ways in there, half a mile, three quarters of a mile in. And I could look and I could, you know, a Sendero, and I could see all the way to the bottom of the Sendero. I could see my light on that feeder, see if there's hogs down there. And if there was, then I would make a creep. And of course, you always want shooting sticks because when you're walking like that, your heart rate gets going too fast. That scope is
right.
Moving up and down. And there was a couple of times when I'd do it by myself at the ranch, and like I always felt like someone was following me in the dark. And I'd get back and tell my wife. I was like, man, that was exciting. I thought something was stalking me. And I was like, you better be careful. Yeah, I'm fixing to go back out in my 45 minutes and do it again. She's like, by yourself. Like, yeah, it's kind of fun to scare yourself like that a little bit. It's like, they're going to eat you. Yeah, like, well, if you go down, there's 30 hogs in there. Sure, them hogs are going to make good of you pretty quick.
But yeah, a hog will eat you in a heartbeat, too. That'd be a terrible way to go, being eaten alive by a wild animal. That's I don't know, maybe a shark's better. At least you can drown yourself before you go all the way with a shark that's on you. Who knows,
that's
man?
That's a good death, right? Ain't that what they say, what the Indians say?
Yeah, good death, good trade. Good trade. Yeah, dances with wolves. All right, Tony, I got to run, man. I'm going to go talk to Naylor, see if he's been going deep out of Freeport. But if somebody wants to call you about coming down and fishing with you in Rockport, Tony, give them out a number, bud.
Sure. You can reach me at 210-846-5083. Or you can go online to CaptainTGIF.com. Abbreviate Captain. And I got some pretty cool Barbaletta baits if y'all want to come chunk some and see what those are about. But
show them how to work them.
That's it.
They're fun baits to fish with. I enjoy them because they're easy to cast. They throw a mile, and they're easy to work all day. You don't get worn out.
Well, they not much to figure out. You know, the people I've handed them to, they'll send me pictures. Hey, look what I did. I caught this stringer on nice, you know, like I told you. Like, they work. Like, they work. They really do. So, well, great. Thanks for calling.
I've enjoyed it. You bet, Tony. And you have a great Sunday, and I'll talk to you next week, buddy. Take care,
okay,
man.
Okay, Kevin.
All right, Tony. See you. All right, it's Tony G down in Rockport. All right, let's head over to Freeport now, and let's check in with Captain Jeff Naylor. I'll just call him old Nalem Naylor. What's up, Jeff?
What's going on, Captain Mick? How you
Not
doing
a lot. Morning? How you doing, man? You been nailing them?
Yeah, you know, we got a few. Put a few in the box last weekend. Been doing pretty good, as a matter of fact. We were on a little hot streak. We had a few weekends there where we was getting decent weather anyways, you know, a couple weekdays. Mm-hmm. So kind of blessed to see that. Don't look like we're going to have a good forecast for the next couple weeks. But, you know, we got our fingers crossed. Yeah, but, man, busy, busy. I mean, you guys could hear me really well last week, right? I mean, it was.
Hey, that sat phone was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. That was good and clear and clean and, you know, wow. Way out in the guff like that, just talking, no problem. It was all good.
Perfect, 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 man. Technology,
yeah.
Golly, I mean, it's just crazy nowadays. Well, yeah, I mean, we got mostly tuna trips booked up right now, and we're in that Texas offshore shootout, so we got a couple of ties for yellowfin tuna with another boat called Stacy Lehan out of Freeport. Mm-hmm. We're both tied up at 74 pounds a piece, which that probably more than likely won't stick, but man, it's a good start to this little tournament, so we're kind of excited to see a few things on the board, and I mean, lots of meat. I mean, you know, this time of year is it. I tell you what, last spring was some of the best tuna fishing that this area has seen in years. I mean, even some of the old timers were telling me it was just phenomenal. Yeah. You know, not necessarily ginormous fish, but there was big fish being caught, but I mean, the numbers were, you know, big. You know, we were out filling the boats up with yellowfin, which is great. And so we're kind of hoping that this year is going to kind of follow suit. And, you know, it's really hard to tell until about February, March, you know, if it's really going to strike off to be something great. But I can't complain where we're at so far. So, you know, we're going to keep whacking at it. We got a trip coming up this coming week. But like I said, I don't think it's going to end up going. We'll just kind of have to play by ear. But you know what? I get a lot of people always asking me about, you know, what the best way to catch tuna. I mean, obviously, they see a lot of our pictures and stuff like that. And you know what? I tell everybody the same thing. It's super simple. I mean, there's a couple of different ways you can do it. But one of the best ways that I found is we like to put a single teaser lure, maybe with a squid chain or, you know, maybe a chugger head at the back of that squid chain with the bird teaser at the front and the shotgun, which is the middle, all the way in the back. And then, you know, I want him back probably 100 yards behind the boat. You know, yellowfin, big tuna and stuff like that are kind of hesitant to get right up next to the boat. They will, but they got to want it pretty bad. But we'll do that. And then we'll rig up weighted chin ballyhoos, maybe put, you know, two or three on the outside, you know, maybe one in the middle or something like that. And then you kind of just sit there and jockey those ballyhoos back and forth, depending on where you're seeing them bite mm-hmm. at, you know. Man, I mean, that's a dynamite setup. You know, and if you want to go really simple, you know, rig ballyhoos, the 10-weighted ones that we do, we pre-rig them with a wax string, you know, going through the gills, and then kind of makes an X on the top of the head. We'll use a number 6 circle hook or something like that, and,
right.
you know, just run them through there. And they swim pretty well.
Makes them swim straight. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, and the key there is just not have them spinning. You're not always going to have them wiggling perfectly back and forth. And it's very important that you break back the tail. If you break his spine in the middle, and then break his spine again about 2/3 or 3/4 of the way down towards his tail, they'll have a nice little kick to him.
Right.
And just enough where he won't spin. And, man, you troll him probably about 7-8 knots, you know, max. You can't really go high-speed trolling him too much. I mean, sometimes on those bigger, medium-sized ballyhoo or something like that, you put a little bit bigger weight on him and go a little faster. But, shoot, man, that's dynamite, you know, and that little setup right there, blue marlin come smoke it, you know, whatever. I mean, anything that's out there come eat those things. So, if we don't have live bait, you know, I guess my first choice is always, maybe a hard tail or something like that.
No doubt.
You know, it's hard to beat, but, yeah, man. And another thing that tuna really love a lot is divers. So we'll, you know, push come to shove, we may put one diver out and leave it, you know, 50 foot behind the boat or something like that. I don't run divers too far back. Well, for a couple of reasons, but one, you know, they tend to want to hit those pelagic species tend to want to hit right behind the whitewash. And for some reason that diver must sit down there just perfect where, I don't know, in the zone where they like it, I guess you could say. But tuna kind of more like in my experience, like a pinkish type lure.
Uh-huh.
And then wahoo and stuff like that tend to like darker lures. So, I mean, like a red, black, or a, you know, a purple, real dark purple combo or something like that. But man, it's a lot of fun when it's hot, you know?
Yeah, that's what Jeffcoat and them do over Venice, man. And when they get those big tuna runs in the summer, they'll, they throw those, topwaters, the poppers, you know, in the pink like that for the yellow fins with those big spinning rigs, or they can sling them way out there and work them back. And they, man, they tear them up at times that way. That's got to be fun watching a tuna blow up on a topwater.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's got to be pretty crazy, yeah, man.
I'm telling you, it is a blast. And we actually throw a lot of yummies. So that yummy, that rubber one, looks like a flying fish, got the little wings out. And you kind of chunk him out there. And, you know, you're not even a bunch of action. You just twitch him, you know, just enough to, so he don't sit, that lure doesn't sit still long enough to really, sure, for the fish to get a good look at it, you know. But boy, you ain't kidding, man. Those suckers will blow up, man. I mean, you think somebody dropped a couch in the water from the top of the rig or something like that. I mean, it's a lot of fun, you know. But, in that nighttime trolling, that was kind of trolling during the daytime, you know. Mm-hmm. And I haven't had a lot of success trolling at night. I mean, I've ran them a few times, and I didn't really have a whole lot of success. So I tend to, at nighttime, either chunk, throw poppers or use chunk, you know, cut blackfin when we catch it. And, you know, I always try to take some during the shrimp boat season. I'll save all the bonita that we catch and fillet them. And most of the time I use it for chunk bait for this time of the year. But sometimes, you know, I'll end up saving it till snapper season. But they love about anything. I mean, even dead sardines, frozen sardines, you know. I always tell everybody during, you know, for snapper to constantly be switching out baits. I mean, because that big sow, she may have seen sardines all freaking week, 2 weeks in a row. Uh-huh. Man, that little piece of squid is what really turned her on, you know, or something like that. So, you know, the same concept with the yellowfin too. They'll go back and forth. You'll find them. They'll kind of want to chew on something, you know, more than others a lot of times. But yeah, no. And then really, I mean, the setup is really simple. You know, those 50 wide TLDs are just a kind of a light tuna rod with a roller tip. You shoot, that's pretty much, you know, a good chunking rod and a trolling rod at the same time. So,
right,
kind of go back and forth. But yeah, and I guess the moon phase has a lot to do with the bite too out there. And you know, the full moon, they tend to be a little more spread out at nighttime for nighttime tuna fishing. But during the daytime, there generally is a little bit better bite, in my opinion, either late in the evening or early in the morning. And then like the new moon or no moon, the bites tend to be a little slower during the daytime. And they're a little bit more bunched up at night underneath those lights and stuff like that. So, but man, so far so good. And like I said, the altimetry is doing really well out there right now. I mean, I Gunnison, Boom Bang, and Nance, I mean, all the three main ones that, you know, the folks from Galveston and Matagorda Fish are sitting in great altimetry, zero line or less, and you can't beat it. They told me that Gunnison actually is not manned and it's turned off right now. So that, I mean, it's been a ongoing conversation for the last couple of years. Is they were, all three of those are set up to be cut down. They're supposed to be cut down last year, but I think they're actually going to be cut down this year at some point. Nobody really knows when, but at some point we're going to lose our main structure out there.
Yeah, valuable structure, man.
It's huge. Yeah,
that's a big issue.
I saw Hilton's on Facebook the other day. He was starting a little page on deploying FADS. This is a fish tracking device. They use them down in Costa Rica and stuff like that, where they go down and they'll, you know, sink you know, some kind of big concrete block or something like that, and big old long cable with a little float, you know, it sits 100 feet, 200 feet below the water line, you know, top of the water. Dangle like an artificial reef, basically. And they actually do them off of Georgia, or excuse me, Alabama. There's a couple over there on that side, and they say they do fantastic. So there's talk about, even after they cut some of these rigs down, deploying some of these fads.
Right.
And so hopefully we'll have it. I mean, otherwise, you know, for us doing the tuna run at a floater rig, you know, be a 180-mile minimum run, you know, that's going to be out of range for a lot of folks.
Sure. Sure
but,
is.
Hopefully
cool.
The Hilton, yeah.
Well, Jeff, I got a roll. It's top of the hour coming up. And
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.